And now, Mr. T, I need you to help me. I need you to go and get some contestants for our game today because we're doing a series called Nailed It. And Tyler, I'm going to need four people. And this time, they got to be 16 and under.
Oh, okay.
16 and under, all right? And so,
Samuel?
So we've been doing this series called Nailed It. And
you might get messy.
This Nailed It series is from a TV show on Netflix that you can go watch. It's hilarious.
I got two boys. I need a couple.
I've got to get two girls, man.
Behind next to me, she's new. That's okay. Her first Sunday. Right okay. There next to me.
Okay. Right here. You want to try it? All right, come on. Wait. First, what's your name?
Jocelyn.
Okay.
Jocelyn,
only if your
come
name
on.
Is Jocelyn.
All right.
And I got two boys. I need one more girl. Phoebe, you're being volunteer. Phoebe.
Phoebe.
Come on, Phoebe.
Come on, Phoebe.
Come on. Come on.
So, hey, Tyler, I'm not. If you would like, contestants, if you would like, I'll give you 15 seconds to go in the audience and pick someone to help you that is also 16 and under.
All right,
ready?
Quickly, go find somebody. Go
one,
find somebody.
Two.
Also 16
three,
and under.
Four. Five. Six.
Ooh, Joa doesn't want any help. Wow.
You should pick a partner. Trust me. All right. Okay, here we go. So we're doing this. We called it Nailed It. And Nailed It is a television show on Netflix where professional food workers, cake decorators, create these awesome models, right? And then they bring in just the average person who tries to emulate or copy it. And it ends up looking terrible. So if you go to the next slide for me, keep going. This is kind of what it looks like. You see on the left, this is the original model. This is what the professional made was that beautiful blonde-haired baby doll. That's a cake. They made that at a cake. And so then they brought in an amateur. And on the right, we can just say, nailed it. Because they look exactly the same, don't they? And so we've been talking about Nailed It. And so your challenge today, I'll walk this around the room just a little bit. We went down to Williams O' Delicious. It's on Todd's Lane. It's right there. It's on Todd's Lane, but it's behind the, what do you call that thing? Little Caesar's Pizza and that little shopping center. It's got the blue roof on Todd's Lane. Anyways, it's there. Really nice people. They got some really good food there, by the way. Like every day they're making fresh baked, all kinds of stuff. You can go there and get it. We're trying to support Live Local, Love Local. And so this is what they made for us. This is our model right here. You can see that they did a pretty good job. As you can see in the back, hopefully I don't spill this thing because that would really mess up the morning. So got some flowers on there. Nice cake. Very, very heavy. Was it strawberry? Did we get a strawberry cake? This is a strawberry cake. So this is good. You've got the time that I use to speak in a sermon to recreate this cake. Yeah. Now, this is a heart-shaped cake, and you have round... You got plastic knives. That's my son. What's a real knife? Yeah, you just got to decorate it. Yeah, because you can't bake them. They're already baked. That's my daughter. Yes. How you both got chosen, I don't know, but I didn't choose anybody. Okay, so you have to recreate these cakes. So obviously you're going to have to cut them, stack them, and decorate them. You have these little icy things here. If you screw this off, top little cap off, you've got some little bumps there to help create ridges or something. I don't know. This one here, you pop this cap off. You can cut a little fatter or whatever to do some decorating with that. You have your icing. You have your bags. You want to change your tips. There's extra tips right there. If you have no idea what you're doing, we're really excited because we want to see you nail it, right? And it's all in good nature. It's all about having fun, right? And so when we all laugh at the end, it's okay, right? And you can enjoy eating your cake. Are you ready to begin? Are you ready?
Yes.
Go. Now, we're calling it the Nailed It series because we've looked at things throughout church history, some of the traditional things we do in church that churches are involved, where the church has just kind of nailed it. And I mean that sarcastically, in the sense that Jesus gave us an example of how to do it and how to live and how to be. And the church, he's the professional, and the church is the amateur trying to copy what Jesus did. And it just didn't turn out right. And so we've covered everything. We've covered like baptisms, and that which was meant to bring the body together is actually, we now call it the waters that divide. We're so divided over something that was supposed to unite us. It's ridiculous. And I just got to say, when it comes to baptism, nailed it. Then we looked at last week about worship and all the different aspects of worship and people fighting over worship styles and who's doing it right and who's God's going to bless the most and all that kind of stuff. And we got to say, church has nailed it. And this morning, I want to talk to you about tithing. And as I say tithing, I'm not just only to that aspect. We're really talking about giving and generosity and that sort of thing. And when it comes to this topic, especially since it's related to money, right? The church has just absolutely, how can we say it, nailed it. There's a few things that we've really messed up. I'm going to get up here because I realize you guys can't see me, which is why I originally set this up here. There's a few things that we've really messed up. Right? So we'll go back, way back in some church history stuff. One of them was called indulgences. Anybody familiar with this? Indulgences. Originally, this was a thing that was set up as acts of penance. When somebody did something wrong and God had forgiven of their guilt, they would go and give an offering, right? As kind of a gratitude and also penance and, you know, sort of thing. Giving it the full benefit of the doubt, it started off well and well-intentioned. But eventually, over the years, it became abused, and there's a guy, he's credited with creating the saying, but there is no proof that he actually created it, but he is the guy who actually owns the saying, because he said it the most. He said it this way: as soon as a coin in the coffer rings, a soul from purgatory springs. And he preached that everywhere. So if you put money in the offering plate and it made some noise, somebody got released from purgatory. Well, he wasn't living in the day where he could buy airplanes and stuff. But what we could say for sure is that the Catholic endowment is the largest endowment in the world. Because if you can buy yourself out of purgatory or hell, wouldn't you do it? And so money came flooding in. And as when you come to that, if it was meant as penance and one of those things, there's room for it. And there's a grace that's there. It might not be something that you practice, but to somebody else, it might be very meaningful in their faith walk before the Lord. But what it became was terrible. All I can say is nailed it. Now, let's skip ahead to some modern times and think about the prosperity doctrine, right? Anybody ever heard of the prosperity doctrine? You know, so the prosperity doctrine is this...
I got that one, Steve. Prosperity doctrine. See, prosperity doctrine is like the more you give, the more you'll get. That's kind of the idea behind it. And so a lot of churches will tell you that if you give us more money, you'll end up with more money in your bank account. But I can debunk that very easily, because if that were the case, then the pastors should be handing out money to everyone else, right? They should be, right? Because in order for the church to get lots of money, they should be giving money to everyone so that the church has lots. Doesn't that, am I right? Am I right, Steve?
You got to make it rain over there. Nobody laughed over there yet.
Make it rain, baby. Oh, I'm out.
Out of money. Yeah.
All right, sit down. It's not real.
Sit down, Joe.
It's not real.
So the reality is the prosperity doctrine, this idea that you got to give to get, if it were really true, all these mega millionaire pastors would be giving their money. But they're not doing that. They're receiving it. They're not giving, they're receiving. And so I got to say here on this level that the church has nailed it. Then you come into this idea of tithing today, and tithing today has got all kinds of concepts to it. Everybody thinks of tithing differently. Let me just give you a basic concept of what it is so we have a level playing field to start from. Tithing, the word means 10%. And we see it in the Old Testament in a couple different ways. But the idea of tithing is that you would give 10% for the functioning of the Levites and the priests and all that kind of stuff. It was an Old Testament idea. And so you give 10% of what you make. But there's a lot of debate that happens in this because Is tithing an Old Testament idea or a New Testament idea? If you have now been saved from the law and tithing is a part of the law, are you free from tithing? And some people to that say, absolutely yes, it's totally associated with the law. Tithing is not a New Testament principle, and so you should not tithe. And so others debate it in the sense of, how do you tithe? Those that say, yes, you do, they go, how do you tithe off the gross, or do you tithe off the net of what you make? You know, which is the one, before taxes or whatever? So
I was reading your notes earlier, Steve, and I heard you want to talk about gross net. So I dipped this basketball net in the toilet. So this is a gross net, right?
No. Tyler, gross means you tithe before your taxes are taken out. Net means you're tithing on your profit that you brought home
gross
after taxes.
Or net, not gross.
Gross or net, not a gross net.
I apologize.
Thank you, Tyler. Thank you for that, I think. And so there is this debate of whether or not we should be giving our 10% or not. Should it be off the gross or should it be off the net? There are some that then would say, shouldn't do it at all, going back to that thing, saying it's all Old Testament law. And then somebody responds to them and goes, you know, yes, it's an Old Testament law of Moses that you should tithe, give the 10%. But actually, before Moses came, there was a man named Abraham who tithed to a man named Melchizedek. And so the idea of the tithe existed, giving 10%, existed before the law. Therefore, even if the law ended, tithing would still be with us because it preceded the law, because Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. Someone then responds back in this argument. These are all real arguments about tithing in the church. I am not kidding. You can go read these things ad nauseum, and people are like really up in arms about it. Well, Abraham only tithed on his spoils of war. So if we're going to apply it biblically, only your spoils of war should be tithed. And people hold that position. Someone else says, if you want what Abraham has, you got to do what Abraham did. I'm like, okay, that's a good way of making money, maybe, you know, sort of thing. But it's one of these ones where I think we just kind of nailed it, because most of you have been around a tithe teaching, you know it's 10%. And you know that in the Old Testament they did 10%. But what you don't know is that they had three different tithes during the year, that the total amount came to 25%. That's the Old Testament law, is 25%, not 10. So what I want to say to you guys this morning is when it comes to the tithe, it's really not about a percentage. That's really not the heart of what this thing is, and the church has gotten off there. Has everybody been in a church service where somebody took up an offering? They passed the plate around, and not here, but at another church, because we don't pass a plate. But taking up an offering, they get the offering, and the guy goes, that's not enough, do it again. Ever been a part of one of those meetings? I've been in one of those meetings where the guy was like, there's supposed to be six people that are going to give $1,000. It took them four times. He kept passing it, kept passing it, kept passing it. I felt like he was going to keep passing it until the archangel Gabriel gave some money. You know, and it's just like after a while, you're just kind of going like, it was like this coercion it felt like. It felt like they were pushing for money. And because the church has nailed it so many times, like, we'll do one more. You ever been to a church where they called you up and asked you for how much you made and so they can go ahead and count on your money coming in? You ever been there? I know churches that do it. As soon as you join their church, they call you, what's your income and can we see your W-2 statements? Not kidding. I'm not kidding. It's real. It's real. And I just got to say, when it comes to the church, when it comes to these kinds of things, nailed it. Because that is not at all the heart of Jesus Christ, the heart of the Father in any way when it comes to this idea of tithing and giving money. And so this morning, I want to give you New Covenant's recipe for tithing. This is our heart in the matter. This is how we do what we do and why we do what we do. New Covenant comes from a tradition, from its beginning, that does believe in tithing, right? In giving. But as I've just told you, it's not really about the percentage, but about giving. And this morning, I'm going to take some thoughts from a passage in 2 Corinthians, it's chapters 8 and 9. And let me give you just a quick background on this story. It is not, is Paul the Apostle writing to take up an offering? He's not taking up an offering to support a church in the sense of like what we have. He's taking up an offering to help a poor church survive. They have no food, right? And he's taking up this offering, and so he writes to the Corinthian church. And you can read it there, chapters 8 and 9 in 2 Corinthians. It's very short chapters. There's a lot in it. I'm only going to pull a few things out of it to highlight this idea of giving and all that's involved there. Because we do live in a New Testament time. It is not the Old Testament standard. That Old Testament standard of tithing that took 25%, that was their legal system. That was their governmental system. Right? That was their tax system. That's how it worked. And then those that received that 10%, that one tithe of the 10%, weren't allowed to own any property. I got news for you. I own property. I have a house. So we're already following this Old Testament model. We're trying to be this biblical idea. The biblical idea is so vast and big, we aren't doing it and never have done it. And so for the church to keep pushing all these different crazy ideas out there, not just New Covenant, but other ones, from indulgences to prosperity doctrine, really misses the point. This morning, let's go to these two texts. Let's hear the Apostle Paul's heart about taking up an offering that you might understand a little more about New Covenant's recipe for tithing. And so in 2 Corinthians, the first ingredient that we need for tithing, right, is the word generosity. When it comes to your tithing, which is not about percentage, but about your giving, make sure when it's coming from you that it's coming with generosity. It's about generosity. Look what he writes here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. He's writing to these people who are trying to give an offering, and he says to them, "But just as you abound," that's the word generous, "in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in earnestness and in love we inspired in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also." Abound, be generous. Now look what Paul does here. Make no mistake what Paul does there. Paul puts the screws to him. Look at this thing. And in all earnestness and in the love we inspired in you. Paul's like, because of my ministry coming to you, Corinthians, I've inspired love in your community in a way that's never been done before. As a result of that, be generous and give. Give to this project that I'm overseeing. By the way, he's saying, I inspired love in your community. Remember that as you choose to give. And be generous. Abound in it. As much as you want to abound in knowledge, as much as you want to abound in faith, as much as you want to abound in all those qualities of life, abound in generosity. It's important for us to abound in generosity. No one's asking for what you don't have, but there's no need to withhold what you do. See, the idea of generosity in this thing, you might think I'm saying this because the church wants your money. Yes, we do. That's not why we're saying it. Because we know that generosity sets you free. It sets me free from being a miser, from being one of those people that just holds everything really tight, that you somehow accidentally become a hoarder and you got way too much stuff in your house and you give it to us every yard sale. But there's this thing that we need to be set free from, that we can be generous and give. Otherwise, we can become misers. We can get stuck in holding on to stuff. Hi, Mr. T.
I want candy.
Just feel free just to walk out anytime you want, man.
Appreciate that.
All right.
All right. I heard you talking about generosity, and the kids sometimes they need a little help understanding a big word. And so in talking about generosity, I have a giant tub of candy. Does anybody in here like candy? There are lots of hands. There are lots of hands. Okay, so Addison, I couldn't pick you earlier, so I'm going to pick you now. Come on up. Come on up. You're sitting in your seat with your parent. You're doing wonderfully. Come on up. That one gets selected. So I have a lot of candy here. I have a lot of candy. Would you like some of this candy?
No.
No. Do you like candy?
I do, but...
You do, but you...
But I do not feel eating one right now.
Okay. Would you like some for later?
Sure.
Sure. Okay, great. I've never had to coerce a child into taking candy. All right. And that's honest. I've never had to do that. So here, I have lots of candy here. All right. So I want you to have, two Skittles. There you go.
I don't care, but sure.
Right. Now, does that seem generous?
Yes.
You're killing me, Addison. You're killing me here. Other kids, does that seem generous when I have this whole bowl of candy to give two Skittles to someone?
No.
No. Generosity is just over abundantly giving from what your stockpile is. Thank you, Addison. You can have your seat.
You see, Generosity is this state that's a part of the kingdom of God. You remember the rich young ruler that came to Jesus? You know, what must I do? What must I do to enter the kingdom of heaven? He said, you know, don't lie, don't steal, all that kind of stuff, you know. And the rich young ruler said, I did all these things my whole life. Jesus never corrects him, by the way, he just accepts his statement. And then Jesus said, okay, then go sell all you have and give it to the poor. And the rich young ruler walked away sad because he couldn't do it. The kingdom of heaven isn't just a geographical place to go. It's a state of being within your soul. To be a generous person is to have a part of the kingdom of God living inside of you. So when it comes to tithing, it's not about percentages. It's about generosity. It's about the kingdom. The second ingredient that we believe here at New Covenant Church about tithing, that it must come from love. It has to come from love. This is the recipe. This is what Jesus showed us. This is what we're emulating and copying. It must come from love. And love gives to people. We know this Bible verse, right? For God so loved the world that he... Yeah, see, love gives, and it gives to people. It'll always give to people. And it is from a free will. If you give it, it's coming from a free will, not from any coercion whatsoever. And so if you look at our verse that we have attached to this, coming right, the very next verse in 2 Corinthians, go back. I'm reading the one that's right there. Back one slide. There we go. I am not speaking this as a command, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also. You see it there? He's not commanding the Corinthian church to give money. He's saying this is an opportunity to show the sincerity of your love. Love gives to people. This is your chance to show your love. I'm not commanding you. It's not, you have to do this. It comes from your heart and it's free. Therefore, there's no guilt attached to it. Therefore, it can be done with joy and with cheer. And if you've noticed, if you've been at New Covenant for a long time, we don't pass the plate here. We've not taken an offering. We've never passed the plate. We don't want you ever to feel coerced to put money in something because somebody's watching you. That you're just putting money in the plate or something like that just to keep up with the Joneses. No offense, Joneses. Just to look the part. We could put social pressure on you to try to get what we want, but we would lose. The church as a whole would lose because it's about producing generosity and that generosity being expressed through love. And if it's not mixed with love, then we aren't growing and we're not becoming like Jesus. We're not becoming like the Father. And the very thing that was meant to show love is not doing anymore. I just have to say we nailed it if we're not doing it with love. And so we don't pass the plate. We're never going to do it. We just tell you, hey, there's an offering box in the back. Please be generous as you leave. That's all. And it's up to you. No coercion. No anything like that. It's a free will. It's not coming from a command. It's not God's going to curse you if you don't do it. It's none of those things. It's a generosity that's being expressed through love. You see, we need to love people and not riches. I hope that you would give at this church because of your love for God, your love for others here, your love for the church. I'd hope you'd give in those offering boxes there because you love this house. You love what's going on here and you love being a part of what's going on here and you want to help support it. I'd hope you'd give because of those reasons, that it would come from love. Because we want to love people and not riches.
You thought I had a lot of candy before. No. This is a lot of candy. I'm going to use y'all's table here a little bit because it's so much candy. I just need, can I move that back? Thank you. Okay. All right, so I need two volunteers. Alden. Alden, you're right there. Aiden, come on up. I got Aiden. No. Okay, thank you, Steve. Thank you. I was going back for those, but you helped me out here. Okay, so, boys, I have a competition here. You got to get off the stool. I have a competition here. All right, so what I want you to do, I want you to grab a handful of candy. I want you to grab it. Yes, excellent. Okay, put it back. Very good. You got it. Okay, all right. Grab a handful. Excellent. That's... You're not putting it back?
No.
Then you can't play the game and you can't win all the candy. Do you want to win all this candy?
Yes.
Okay, then you have to play the game and you have to win the game. All right, try it again. Grab a handful. Excellent. Now put it back. All right, okay. You want to try it one more time? Grab. Okay, and you put it back. That's very quick. Excellent. All right, so you understand the concept of grab, right? Okay, good. What I want you to do... You're going to watch this bowl for him, okay? You're going to stand here and watch the bowl. Don't let it fall. Don't let it go anywhere. You're going to get all that water into that pitcher. You need to fill that pitcher. What you have to do... Wait. There's a couple rules. You have to grab the water and get it to that little pitcher.
Todd, okay? If he grabs all the water...
Yes.
And gets it in that pitcher. He gets that whole tub of candy?
Yes. What? They will both. They'll both win a tub of candy if you can grab all of... If you can fill that with water by grabbing it. And grab... Okay, so begin. You got to grab it. Get it over there. No, you can't move it. It's got to stay there. Okay, get it. Get all the water. Okay. Keep going.
Use your hand like a bowl.
Hold on to these for me, please, okay?
That's scooping. That's not grabbing.
Okay. Don't eat them.
Hey, T, you got to watch. He's scooping, not grabbing.
No, that's scooping. Wait. What? No, back. Go back. Oh. Remember, you have to grab it. You have to grab. Very good. Keep going.
There you go.
All right, don't eat these. Just hold on to them, okay?
Keep grabbing.
Don't eat it, okay? Don't eat it. Just hold on to that for me, okay? All right, just hold on to it for me. Hold on to these for me, okay? Don't eat them. Don't eat them.
George.
Okay, did... No, they're still going. Did you win?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. You're going to be here all day. And I still don't think that's enough time or enough water to fill that. So, boys... Chasing riches is like trying to grab water. All right, hold on. If you're just trying to be rich, if you're running after it, trying to grab a hold of it and just take it for yourself, it's likely you'll never get it. If you're chasing after riches, you're trying to grab water. There's a principle here that I want you to understand. Everybody in this room, we're to love people and use money. We're not to love money and use people. So what I want you to do, if you want to win some candy right now, everybody on this first row on this side that you are willing to greet with a handshake and a good morning, they have a piece of candy for you. You don't have to get any candy, but if you're willing to love someone and greet them in kindness on this front row, that's your only opportunity this morning. Whoever on that front row that you greet in kindness... Oh, and a hug and a hug. Oh, that's beautiful. Look at that. Wow, who else might? Excellent. Awesome job, boys. Awesome job, boys.
Yep. So this is where, this is a great illustration. This is where the church missed that whole give to get thing. It's where we missed
it.
And where people with bad motives have abused it. The idea of giving to get, it's not that you give something to the church and all of a sudden God's going to make you win the lottery and a lot of money come to you from God. That's not it. When you give in love to other people, when they're in need and you have resources to help them in their need, then later on when you're the one in need, it comes back to you. You see? And so you could chase riches and save up everything for yourself, but as you do that, right, you're not using those riches to show love. God gave us these things to show love, and so we should love people and use money, not love money and use people. And so when you give, you want it to come back to you. It comes back to you because it's going out in love, and those people are going to love you and bring it back to you when you're in need. That's the idea. And if you read really closely there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, you'll see it very clearly where Paul talks about this being an inequality that happens. Finally, at New Covenant Church, we want you to give out of generosity. We want you to give in love. And finally, the last ingredient when it comes to tithing and giving, it's not about a percentage. We want you to give in faith. Look at this. Actually, let's go back. I forgot to read the second verse for them. Let's go back. I'm doing all chapter 8, but in chapter 9, it says, "Therefore, only before the churches show them the proof of your love and our reason for boasting about you." The offering, the giving of an offering, is proof of your love. There is no question about it. It's Paul's use of the terminology right there. Let's keep on going. Coming around to this, the concept of faith as we wrap up here this morning. We want you to give in faith. And this is what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. Now remember, he wrote this taking up an offering. This passage is about collecting money. And this is what he writes. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." You see, Paul is reminding everybody of what Jesus has done. When it comes to giving an offering, may your faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done lead you. Look what he did. We are called to emulate him. He is an example to us. And if he did that with his very life, what is the paper stuff in your wallet worth? It's certainly not blood. It's certainly not worth your lives. You would trade money in a moment. You trade money in a moment for your family. You'd post bail to get someone out of jail. Money's important, but when it comes to blood and family members, they're more important. And look what Jesus has done in bringing you in his family. And so we want you to give in faith as steps, growing in generosity, growing in love, believing that we're living like Jesus lived, a generous life, a life that expressed love toward people, freely given with cheer. You see, ownership determines limitations. And the tithing, to be continually giving, is a constant reminder of the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's a constant reminder that you're not the boss. You created wealth, you created things, but this giving, this generosity of giving reminds you that yes, you created everything by your hard work and labor, but remember, somebody worked 7 days before you were ever born. His name is God. He's the true creator with all power and authority. And as we believe that, and as we trust in him, right, we can give in faith with gratitude and trust that he will provide all that we need. And so in chapter 9, verse 8, if you go back one slide for me, he wrote it this way. "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed." Notice what the abundance is for. The abundance is for every good deed. And so this morning, we'll never settle the tithing debate and how much and when and all that other kind of stuff to do. The whole first fruits concept, some of you Bible thumpers out there thinking first fruits. The first fruits idea was only the fruits. You only gave from the land. You didn't give from other monies. It's out there. Read it. It's the debate goes on and on and on forever. Here at New Covenant Church, we're not interested in the debate of what's the right way, the right amount. We're interested in the heart. We want you to be able to give from generosity. We want you to give in love because you love the house and you love the people. You love supporting other people's children, getting discipled in Roy Rangers and Impact Girls and that sort of thing. And we want you to give in faith that you understand that you're emulating Jesus' life with your money. He laid down his life. You're laying down some cash. One day you may have to lay down your life. But this is process along the way. And so this morning when we consider everything that he's done, here's something to kind of think in your mind. When it comes to giving an offering, whose is it? Is it your money and you're just giving God some of your money? Or is it all God's money and you're deciding how much to keep? These are ideas that we have to weigh through. You'll answer that how you want, but however you answer it, our prescription or our recipe for collecting the tithe here at the church: generosity, love, and faith. If you're coming to church and you're not leaving anything at all, you're missing out on the blessing. I had a guy one time when I was at Elam, he said this to me, and I've done it. He said, whenever there's an offering, I always put something in the plate no matter what. I said, what happens if you forget your wallet? Because I do that often. This is what he said to me. I rip a button off my shirt and I put it in. I said, why is that? He said, because it reminds me never to forget my wallet. I was waiting for something really spiritual, but it wasn't. You probably thought that too. But he wasn't going to let something go. I'm going to be a part of what this is that's going on here. It's not a tip. You're not paying for services. It's not any of those things. It is, I'm a part of what's going on here. It's not necessarily you approve of everything that's happening. It's God is doing something here. I give this unto God generously, of love, and in faith. Right? And I think if we begin to handle our money with these principles involved, whether it's 10%, 18%, or a button, it doesn't really matter. Because God's looking at our heart. And as the pastor of this church, I'm looking to make sure that you're growing in the grace of Jesus Christ. The grace of giving, the grace of love, and the grace of faith. And your money is a tool to show you how you're doing. That's all. How are you doing in it? I want you to grow in it. Will we benefit from your money? Everybody in this room, yes, would benefit from it. But as a pastor, I want to see you growing in grace, in generosity, in the grace of generosity, the grace of love, and the grace of faith. And you're using your money to take the steps in that toward God. With that, let's see how these cakes have turned out, because keeping your attention this morning has been quite the challenge. All right, so we got some. I don't even want to touch that. Whew. Last week I walked them around and showed you, and we picked a winner. I obviously can't pick a winner since two of my kids are there, so I need a winner picker who can be, hey, Mom, would you want to be the winner picker? No. Can't. It'd be biased, too. I was joking. So I'm going to go with Miss Delia in the back because she knows us all very well. Come on, Miss Delia. We got to pick a winner. So I'm not going to touch that one because that one's like, man, that's messy. Okay, so let's. This one might fall. We'll walk this one around the room a little bit so you can kind of see. They got named Phoebe and Jillian. Look at that. Yeah, very nicely done. Look at that. Got some flowers on there. Yeah. Nicely done. For those looking in the back, yeah, not bad. Don't worry, we got a couple more to walk around the room. All right. There's this one. Hey, T. Oh, there's Tyler. Good. Oh, my gosh. I got frosting on my finger, and I'm on keto. Okay, sorry. Got distracted with sugar. What was that?
Smell the roses.
So, no. Scott's asking me to smell the roses. We all know what's going to happen there. All right. This is... This is a heart or a liver. Yeah, yeah. All right. Okay. And the last one's walking around. Miss Delia, we're going to need you to pick a winning couple or person, since one person did it all on their own. All right, Miss Delia. We're almost up with the service, and I know you're itching to get to the offering boxes there. I know that. You just can't wait for the stampede to get there. I understand that, but we're almost done. We'll let you get to the offering boxes. A lot of pressure, huh? Whoa! All right. All right. All right, girls, come on around. Come on around. Okay, so I've got two $10 gift certificates to Glazed Donuts in downtown Hampton, right? Live local, love local. There you go, $10 each for you. Get some awesome donuts. They have specialty coffees they make there. I know you love coffee. Do you like coffee? Are you allowed to have coffee? Your mom lets you have some coffee. Well, in our family, the coffee was put in bottles. I'm not even kidding. And little babies drinking coffee. Oh, my goodness. All right. Nope. You're good. Thank you. I got distracted. I totally got distracted. I was thinking about the coffee in the bottles going, I can't believe that happened, but it did. All right. So everybody else, you are considered a runner up, and we have a, come on out, come on out. Oh, Joa, I love you, kid. That's my son with the green hands. Okay. No, don't touch me. So that's a $5 gift certificate to Glazed Donuts. Here's a $5 gift certificate to Glazed Donuts. Here's a $5 gift certificate to Glazed Donuts. Here's $5. Somebody left. Oh, there you go. I still got another one. There's got to be somebody. Oh, Joel didn't have a partner. First one to the offering box. No, wait. That's nailed it. Nailed it. No. Son, I love you, man. Yes. Miss Delia was the judge. Yeah, we give Miss Delia. There you go. That was a tough decision. There you go. Awesome. So as we wrap up here, Jesus Christ looked at us in our great poverty of righteousness. We had none. We lacked everything. He had the whole basket full of candy. And he came, and he didn't just give one or two Skittles. He gave the whole wealth of heaven to you. All your sins forgiven as far as the east is from the west. Where you've been, what you've done is not regarded or considered in any way, shape, or form. God's arms are wide open to you, and he loves you with all of his heart and is there for you and walk with you through hell or high water. He will be there with you. It makes no difference. He will be there. This is what Jesus Christ has shown us the true God is as he died on the cross, giving his life freely of his own free will. Because he loved us. It is that picture that is the picture of giving. That's the picture where I give all that I am to you, whether you respond or not. Remember, he gave it to people who hated him. This is the model that's to be copied. The church hasn't nailed it. We haven't given ourselves that way all the time. With all the prosperity doctrines and the indulgences and all the other stuff that's going on, please don't attach that to the church. When you think about what the church is saying about giving, what we're trying to copy is Jesus on the cross saying, here I am, all that I am given to you. Now, with that said, when it comes to your money and your wallet, right, let that influence how you handle it. That we would emulate him, that we would give because of, we give out of generosity, we would give out of love, and we give in faith because of what he has done. If you do those things, I think you're going to grow in your spiritual walk in your life. You will benefit from it. It will come back to you in this way. When you're in trouble, somebody in the church is going to be there for you because you've been there for somebody else. God's not going to make you suddenly win the lottery. He's not going to give you the numbers. It's not going to happen that way. It says we love one another. The wealth gets shared. It keeps getting passed around. Give according to what you've got. Don't hold it back because it will come back to you through the others that you've connected with. Let's pray. We'll send you out of here this morning. Father, we thank you for teaching us what it means to be a generous, cheerful giver, that it comes from love, that it comes from faith. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to emulate your Son and who you are, that we might have eternal life inside of us, that we wouldn't be the rich young ruler that walked away sad, but, Lord, we would have the kingdom of God and that generosity dwelling inside of us, not only with money, but with words of kindness, that we'd be generous with forgiveness, that we'd be generous with patience, that we'd be generous with all the qualities of the fruit of the Spirit, giving out abundantly to all those that we come in contact with. I pray for those today, Lord, whose minds are just burdened with sins that they've done or places they've been and regrets and fears. I pray today they receive your gracious and generous gift of forgiveness today. Wash their minds clean. Wash their hearts free. Lift up their souls so they might sing again and celebrate again. Let today be a new day for them because of your generosity. May they just receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen.